got a lovely sounding recipe for chicken meatballs in a moment. Charlotte Ryan's here. Hi.
I do like meatballs.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're scrunching up your face. You're not a meatball fan.
We'll talk about it with Martin shortly, but I just don't have any meatball recipes in my repertoire.
Oh, there's some great Italian yummy ones, like pork and sage type vibes.
Yeah. Okay, we'll bring let's bring Martin Bosley in now if we can. Martin Bosley is our guest chef for a Friday afternoon. Hello there.
Oh, kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
Yeah, good. What's new in your life?
Oh, I sort of aged my foot actually several months ago, so I've been rehabilitating at home for the last 3 or 4 months. So there's not a great deal going on in my world apart from talking to you, listening to the wireless.
Yeah, sorry to hear about that. Has it affected your movement around the kitchen?
It did for the first couple of months, yeah. So it was, but I'm now back in there with my little walking frame, perched up on my high chair.
Oh, true. Boy. Hey, Charlotte was just saying she's a big meatball fan. I love them when someone else makes them, but they're just not kind of in my repertoire. Where do they sort of fit in for you?
Oh, I wouldn't say they're a go-to for me, but they're a good thing. Like, you know, sometimes if you just get home, because they can be made quite quickly. So they'd probably be, especially going through winter, maybe a couple of times a month I'd do meatballs because they're just so quick. They're just so quick and easy.
What is the principle with them? I mean, obviously you make them and then do you just, is the idea that you simmer them or are you trying to, do you brown them first or what's the idea?
The secret to a great meatball is that browning first, right? It's like, you know, getting all that colour in at the beginning as much as you can. And to that end, you know, you either rest the mince in the fridge for a while before you brown them off so the meat can kind of set, or roll them in flour. So you're kind of toasting that flour on the outside so that becomes a lovely crust and helps that browning process. And I don't sort of go in for the long simmered kind of approach, unless it's like an Italian sort of style meatball. But meatballs are generally cooked in like 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You don't really need that whole long simmered sauce sort of thing.
There's no bone, there's no tissue, no sort of collagen to break down or fat or fat to render. So why would you, right?
Why would you?
Yeah. I guess if you want a bit of the meat flavour to seep into the tomato sauce, maybe.
Add stock. You know, that's what I do. Like chicken stock's a bit of is your friend when you're making beef meatballs or lamb or chicken. You know, adding some stock into your pan will give you that, we'll boost that flavour. But it's kind of as much as it's about the mince, it's about the other seasonings that you add to it, and that can be anything, you know, from mixed herbs through to spices. I always add lemon to mine. I always a bit of lemon zest and a bit of lemon juice because I think you know, lemon for me is always most my second seasoning after salt ahead of pepper mostly. So I always find that just sort of freshens things up. And yeah, as I said, there's not a lot to break down or cook there. It's like it's all done. You know, as long as you've got good quality mince, that's a part of it as well. You know, you sort of chop your meat up to that paste or put it through the mince or just buy good quality mince from your butcher.
And what about meat choice? We're doing chicken today, but I mean, does anything basically work? And I see sometimes in restaurants they'll do a combination of say beef and pork. Why would they do that?
Well, the pork has the fat, so it stops that meat drying out because often the mince is quite lean beef that's been minced, and you need a percentage of fat in there to keep that mince moist. Otherwise, it just becomes quite dry and unpleasant. So the pork mince is added again, you know, just to add that fat content. In the same way that you add pork, I add pork mince to bolognese. So you know, I have beef in there and 50-50 mix of beef mince and pork mince.
Good just trick, keep Charlotte.
It succulent.
Good trick. What's your go-to meat for a meatball, Charlotte?
Well, I do like a pork, and then you sort of do it. It's sort of almost like an Asian meatball, or you know, or like a Thai sort of vibe. Yeah. But I do like a classic beef, you know, cheesy tomato vibe too.
I suppose all cuisines would have their own sort of version of this, would they?
Like meatballs, I mean, they think they sort of started in Persia is where they kind of originated from. But, you know, you've got the koftas, you've got the keftas, you've got the polpette, you've got albondigas from Spain, you know, the British call them faggots, you've got the Dutch call them bitterballen, the Japanese call them sukini, and, you know, like every culture's kind of got a version of the meatball, whether it be in, as Charlotte said, like in a soup, or if it's in, you know, if it's inside a wonton, or, you know, there's a version of it in most food cultures. You know, it just comes back to it was a way of making a little bit of meat go a long way.
Uh huh.
You know, just to switch it out.
What do you think of breadcrumbs in them? Because some people, like, that's a necessity, but I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, breadcrumbs are there to hold it together, really solid. It's, you know, that's why most people... I mean, today's recipe with the chicken, I add a little bit of breadcrumbs in there because there's not a great deal with the chicken, that sort of slap protein to hold them together. But if I'm doing a beef meatball, I don't add the breadcrumbs to it. But I make sure I rest the patty, the little balls, in the fridge for half an hour just to sort of set it. Otherwise, they do crumble and fall apart and you end up with mince in the pan. And that also comes down to how finely ground the mince is. If it's too coarse, you know, your meatball's going to fall apart. So the breadcrumbs are there really just to help hold them together.
Breadcrumbs, and I would have thought egg, but I see no egg in your recipe.
No. I don't do the egg because I think the egg sometimes can be quite overpowering in flavour. You know, it becomes quite, you know, you get that eggy, you know, that egg white and that, you know, you sort of, it's quite, eggs can be quite dominant in some things. And while it's handy to have, it's not essential. Some people add egg into their beef patty recipes, you know, for a burger. And I'm like, no, put the burger on top of the beef patty. Don't add it into the beef.
It's not the neutral binding agent that might think. Okay.
Yeah,
Somebody, by the way, who's listening is pretty keen on the venison meatballs at Ombra in Cuba Street.
Yeah, they are good. Yeah. Yeah, they're comforting and they're satisfying. You know, you don't need many of them. If you've got kids in the kitchen, they're a great way to get the kids in. Like, how, you know, helping to sort of, you know, well, make sure you wash their hands thoroughly first. But, you know, to roll those little, you know, roll the little balls in, they can be any size. I mean, the only meatball I don't really go for is that big, huge American meatball, which, you know, the American meatball starts to take over the size of the frying pan. And you sort of, you know, you see these huge sort of tennis ball-like things. I just don't really think that's the meatball. But that notion of an Italian meatball simmered in, you know, that sort of rich tomato sauce. You know, with the windows, the kitchen windows sort of steaming up on a wintry afternoon. Mm. You know, sort of like a romantic little vision, isn't it? You know, and the smell of the tomatoes sort of wafting through the house. Well, what's not to love?
So yours is sort of more the size of a small Brussels sprout.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Tell us how to make them, please.
I will. I just
the recipe's on our website, so people can follow along. You can just give us a bit of an overview if you like. I'm looking through this ingredient list. There's nothing too wacky on there, is there?
No, there's not. So you can. This is a really simple recipe: small onion, a couple of cloves of garlic, about 200 grams of minced chicken or a cup, 40 grams of white breadcrumbs, which is literally a pinch. You know, like it's just like grab it with your hands and just toss it. Fresh white breadcrumbs, ideally, but you know, the ones we've got everybody's got in the pantry, fine. The lemon, as I said, the zest and the juice, a couple of stalks of parsley, and that can be either curly or flat leaf, and then some flour, a couple of tablespoons of flour, and that's kind of your meatball, and it's finely chop the onions and the garlic, put into a mixing bowl with your minced chicken and the breadcrumbs, grate the lemon, add the zest in there, squeeze in a bit of juice, chop the parsley, and season with salt and pepper and mix it together thoroughly. And I slap it against the side of the bowl a couple of times, and that just sort of stretches the proteins and the meat out and helps bind it a little bit, right? And if you slap it 10 or 12 times, you'll feel it go a little bit sticky, and you go, great. Right, that's done.
That's great, Martin, yeah.
Yeah. It's just sort of, it doesn't take much to do. You know, so just pick it up, throw it against the side, pick it up, throw it against the side of the bowl, and it's, you know, it's not, you can get nice and angry about it. You'll make about 10 small balls of that into a rough ball shape, onto a flour tray, roll them around, heat some olive oil or butter or a combination of the two in a frying pan. So roll the meatballs in the flour and fry them until they're sort of crisp and golden. Lower the heat, and then I just pour in a can of crushed tomatoes. And you can buy the crushed tomatoes that have got the herbs through them as well if you'd like those. And about 200 mils of chicken stock. Couldn't be any easier. And then I simmer that for 6 to 8 minutes and a little bit more salt, but then I divide it between the plates. Now, what I do think is essential, though, is that you serve them with some sort of puree or mash underneath, because you want something that's just going to mop up all those juices that are going to be sort of floating the plate. So I go like a really sort of creamy potato puree, which is sort of more butter and cream than it is potatoes. And then, or parsnip puree or celeriac works really well, especially this time of the year. Celeriac.
Not too sloppy with a sloppy meatball.
No, because I mean the juices will sort of get in there and just sort of mixes together and.
Great.
You know, it's just, so if you just think like parsnips, which have got that sort of slight, you know, that sort of minerality to them, you know, that sort of gentle, earthy, that sort of sweet minerality, they'll mix very well with it. And that recipe, they swap out chicken for anything. Swap out the chicken for pork, swap it out for lamb, swap it out for mince, beef, whatever you feel like, and away you go.
I love it. Thank Brilliant. You, sir.
My pleasure.
Stay safe, Martin weekend. Bosley.
Yeah,
who's our Friday guest chef, and that was his recipe for chicken meatballs and tomato sauce and parsnip puree.
With four children, Jesse, I really thought meatballs would be like a staple thing because they're great cold, you know, to serve the kids the next day or whatnot. No.
I don't do, because I'm not around for dinner time, I don't do as much cooking for the children as you might expect.
True.
I am around on the weekends, but yeah, more and more actually the kids are eating what we eat, which is great.
Like good, strong flavours.
Yeah.
Oh, you're lucky.
It was a bit of a bummer, actually. I happened to be catching up with Al Brown, the chef, the other day, and he brought out this big platter of sashimi that he'd cut from some fresh fish.
And the kids ate it all.
Eight hands reach in and gobble up most of it before Dad had even got anywhere near.
Well, you are very lucky because, yeah, I know lots of parents and their children have a very yellow palate, yellow or white food palate.
Yeah. I've got my wife to thank for that.